which was right near the heating plant, which is where I was doing on my graduation show. And I was getting ready to graduate, and I was preparing for my senior show in painting. And my studio space was in the heating plant, which was an eye view from the ROTC building. Mm-hmm. So I hung down there all the time. So I went down there to check out the governor, who came in and called the students brown shirts and other, and Agnew, who was making all kinds of nasty statements about the students, and the guard came out, and there was tanks and helicopters and guys with uniforms and guns and things like that. I'd never seen anything like that. As it became darker, word was going through the crowd. I don't remember if it was officially announced that we needed to disperse, and after a certain hour we were to stay on campus and no longer allowed to leave campus. I was exceedingly irate about that. I thought, what is this war? There's war here. I mean, this is ridiculous. Nobody's really done anything. I didn't support the ROTC building being burned down, but nonetheless, that didn't mean that tanks had to come. That didn't mean that guards and people with guns and bayonets and tear gas and helicopters had to come, but sure enough, there they all were. And as night approached and the helicopters were flipping overhead and the strobe lights were flashing, which was a sense of complete unreality, I was thinking, fooey with those guys. Who says we can't go someplace? This is my school, my campus, and my country. This is America. You know, I have rights. 21-year-old rights. I was 21 years old. And I want to go where I want to go. But not everybody felt that way. Actually, up at the other end of the street away from where I was, that's where I had heard that several people had been bayoneted. I don't recall exactly what transpired. There was a lot of movement. It was dark at that point of people. And then tear gas was released, and I definitely felt the tear gas and got the heck out of there. And it burned. It burned. Then I heard through the grapevine, and there was just a lot of grapevine. I couldn't even tell you what the grapevine was, but there was. That there was a rally, an anti-war rally this time on Monday. And while I had never been to an anti-war rally that I can recall in the past in school, because I'd had a growing awareness of opposition to the war, I went to it because I was pretty pissed off about all this army, and it seemed like an army to me. Now they were stabbing people. Now there were tanks and this time there was tear gas and awful things, and it didn't seem to make any sense. And we were not supposed to be in groups of more than two people at one time. Excuse me. So I went to the rally. And when there was somebody in charge, organized and said disperse, and people didn't disperse, I was as stubborn as many others, saying, excuse me, I've got my rights. I'm not dispersing. But in fact, when they started coming at us with guns, I dispersed with the rest of them. And we ran up the hill with the guard behind us marching in line, and that was like a scary sight. So as there weren't all that many students there that were involved in the rally, there really weren't. I couldn't tell you how many at that time. And there weren't even all that many on the periphery at the rally. But as things began to get more heated up, and it was noon, and it was a school day, more and more students began to appear on the periphery. Mm-hmm. So the guard drove us up over the top of that hill where the sculpture was and down. And I went down into the parking lot. I was one of those people in the parking lot that you could see in a lot of the photographs. And it's from the parking lot that the more active people were, and that that the few rocks that were thrown were thrown. And I did throw some rocks. I'll be frank about that because, heck, I gave that testimony 30 years ago to the FBI. I quit. I couldn't hit a darn thing. Didn't seem to make any sense to me to throw a rock if you can't hit something. These guys were really far away, and I couldn't throw for beans anyway. It was more of an angry statement to me. I really never wanted to hurt anybody, but I was mad at all this war. It seemed like war to me. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I did see one rock hit a guardsman. And I say this because there were reports that came out in the press that fire hydrants had been thrown, and there had been guardsmen that had been bleeding, and there was lots of lies afterwards. But I was right there, right in the middle of it. Nada. Did not happen. But the one rock that I did see bounced off of a guardman's helmet. And we're talking like long way away. These guys were way down in the field. And that was that. So the guard were in a crouching position with their guns out to shoot, like you would think the Continental Army was. I mean, they were literally in that kind of a position. It was a shock. I thought they would shoot tear gas, but they didn't. And the next thing I knew from where I was, and there weren't that many of us in the parking lot, the guard was not surrounded at that point. There's pictures to show it. There was lots of lies about that. Now, that's not to deny that those people, those guardsmen that were down there, didn't feel surrounded, didn't feel threatened, weren't tired, weren't in all kinds of other circumstances. But the reality, the physical reality, was not that. So they got up and moved and, I thought, retreated up the hill. I was with that group of people that followed them up the hill and said, yeah, get off the campus, get out of here, we don't want you here, what are you doing here, get out of here, and was making lots of noise. And then I heard a single shot, and then there was a volley. I was very close to the guard, and the bullets whizzed past my ears. I was very much in the line of fire. I do recall some of those things are sort of burned in my memory. I remember thinking so clearly when that volley went by my ears, this is not what it sounds like on TV. This is not what the sounds of bullets sound like in cartoons. It was a very different sound, a bullet so close to one's head, to one's ears. Very different sound. And I jumped over bodies and ran down the hill. I also recall some students saying, walk, don't run, they're only blanks. And I remember thinking, huh? Why carry a weapon if you don't have something in it that's intended to work? I'm out of here. And I did. I ran over bodies, 2-3 deep were hitting the ground. And so I ran down the hill to a place of safety. But by the time I was behind that yellow Volkswagen, which was right near where Jeff Miller was shot, the volley had stopped. I got up when the volley had stopped to look to see what the heck had happened. And I did see Jeff Miller at that time. And that's when the photograph of me was taken by Jeff Miller. I'd never seen blood like that. I'd never seen anything like that. It was a complete shock. I wanted to touch him. I remember wanting to hold him, but I was afraid of the blood. I did touch him. I did touch and hold his hand because I didn't want him to feel alone. I figured, how can anybody live with this? His life was running down the sidewalk. Running. Just kept flowing. And there was nothing to be done that I felt I could do.